when my early morning day begins, and the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call, I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Get outside. It's a beautiful morning. What do we got? 13 degrees? 14?
Let me get you the up to the second temperature.
It's warmed up.
But it was
it's nice out.
It's not bad at all.
And there's no traffic.
Not much wind either.
Well, what's with the no traffic?
It's
Are we
early.
Shooting a movie or something?
It's early. Give it time.
It's
11,
well,
it's early.
By the way.
It's the same hour every day.
Well, I know, but.
But there's way less cars on the
well,
road.
Well, it
did
is
you
Friday.
See that coming in?
I did notice that.
I
noticed it coming into the city last night, and the reverse commute was light. Lighter.
I've said this for about a couple of years now. People no longer work on Fridays. I believe now people are no longer working the last 2 weeks of the year completely.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks of the year don't start until next Monday.
I bet when we go home today, the traffic will be really bad.
Yeah, because it's going to be snowing.
Well, here's the problem. Today's the big WGN
Christmas party.
Christmas wang dang doodle.
So we'll be here late, and then we'll go home, and it'll be crazy.
Nick DiGilio's riding shotgun today. Nice to see you, buddy.
Great to see you. Thanks for letting me hang out, man.
And your commute's different than ours. As you know, I live in the double-wide in East St. Louis.
That's right.
But on any given day in Chicago, if you try to head west or north at 2 o'clock or later, you're screwed. It's rush hour. Today, you know, Mary, you and I have a friendly bet about this. My normal commute time on a Friday afternoon would be hour and 20, something like that, to get to the Western Burbs.
What time? That
anytime after
after
2 o'clock.
Yes,
that's an average.
It'll be about an hour for me.
So you're thinking an hour? I say it's less than that today. You say it's more. Let's do our normal bet: $100,000 in cash.
In cash,
and you'll be able to pay up, and I won't. Okay.
In 20s,
I do notice
in a leather satchel.
When Dan and I come in on at night, Thursday nights, as we come in, we get here around 12:15. Thursday nights, it's a nutcase factory down here.
Well, that's the
everybody
works
out.
On
like,
Friday.
Nobody works on. You're just saying nobody works on Friday. Yeah. They're all
everybody
running around in
Thursday
the streets.
Is Thursday nights the new Friday night?
It is. It's seriously crazy. It's
big time.
It's completely different Monday through Wednesday coming down. It's, you know, there's a few people, but man, Thursday night people are just like nuts.
I get more offers to do things like dinner and whatnot.
Thursday nights.
It's bigger than Friday.
No wonder Russia's taken over.
Mm.
We're not working Fridays anymore.
Well, we need a 3-day weekend anyway.
By
don't
the
you
way,
think?
It's 11 degrees.
It's 11. That's why it's so warm out.
So nice.
You guys are funny. It's cold. It's freezing.
It's beautiful outside today.
But a week ago at this time, if it had been 11 degrees, what would we have been saying? We would have been saying, oh, it's so cold out there. It's ridiculous.
Right,
winter's
but after
here.
Yesterday.
Right.
Today is fantastic. I'd like to do the show outside today. Let's do the show outside.
How about Sunday? How about for the Bears game Sunday?
Okay. No. Who's going to go to that game?
No. The players aren't even showing up.
I was offered a pair of tickets to that game.
So
free.
Was I.
Yeah, I'm not going.
No, I was offered. Somebody offered to pay me to go.
I might consider it then.
So the Bears and the Packers kick off what time?
Noon on Sunday.
1 degree is the high on Sunday. That's the predicted predicted high.
Tom Skilling says it's going to be right around zero at kickoff and a wind chill well below that.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Hamp will be on later. Remember when Hamp told us back in the day when you play in the cold? He goes, you don't notice. You notice one.
Oh,
yeah.
One you notice.
Oh,
I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Dan Hampton.
We can set a
one
record.
One you notice.
A record would be one because the coldest Bears game ever at Soldier Field was two.
Well, we ought to set one record this year. There we go. Let's set that one.
By the way, maybe they can wear the Seattle Seahawks uniforms from last night. They look like glow sticks.
What the heck?
This is a color rush thing. I heard him describe this morning on CNN. It's very funny. Somebody said they look like human highlighters.
That's it. Even their socks.
Little Martians.
I tell you, it's not a good look for a fat lineman. You get that bright green thing going on. It's not a winning look. What is the story, Dave, with the color rush uniforms?
Well,
I mean, aside from the fact they want to sell the jerseys.
Well, that's basically it. And I think they wanted to do something also to to kind of glitz up the Thursday night games, which most of which have been bad games, and there's a feeling that part of that is a result of teams having to turn around and play on 3 days rest
right.
after playing on Sunday. And Seattle's Richard Sherman, who tends to be outspoken anyway,
but
he came out with some pretty strong comments this week about it, and I think he got people's attention because there's no question that not only have some of the matchups been bad,
terrible,
but even when you have some good matchups, the games haven't been very good.
Yeah, because you need a couple of days to rest and a couple of days to practice and a couple of days to figure out who you're playing.
Guys are still sore from Sunday.
Yeah. At 6:18, let's do this. Traffic from Mary, and then Nick will talk about some entertainment and show business. And we'll move on with the rest of the program today. Oh, Lou's first call, too. I forgot about that. How could I forget about Lou? You know what? Tell Lou, Sandberg, if you would. I want some last-minute Mr. Handyman Christmas ideas. And in this case, you know, it might be like a tool belt in this music. Cock-a-chong, cock-a-chong, chong.
Why?
By the way, you guys were represented very last strongly minute.
I got it.
Out of context this morning.
I'll bet.
Yeah, you guys were had a nice contingency in there.
I don't make that a lot, do I?
You made it twice this morning.
Oh, I did. Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? That becomes, you know, this mantra now.
I think Sandberg and Vandevelde are on a few hundred times this week as well.
Well, those two. My God. Yeah.
No, I haven't been on much lately. I gotta
Mary
get
wasn't
with
on
it. Potty mouth.
Sandberg was.
Oh, she was talking about her snow plowing.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Plowing inches.
Yes.
All that.
It was not good. Not good.
And wasn't there something about paying per push?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, that was in there. Yeah.
And I tell you, Dan edited that extremely well.
Yeah, yeah. The rate card on that is something else.
Yeah. Chagrou really puts them together. Like he makes you guys look filthy when he edits that stuff.
Yeah, well, he's a pervert.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time. Of the show for Lou's first call.
Can't believe that didn't catch on as a bigger hit. It's the time of the show for Lou's first call. Lou Manfredini joins us now. I think he's here.
Good
are
morning.
You here? Yeah, you're right there.
Right
How
there.
Are you?
I'm great.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah,
I like your
excited. I'm going to see you today.
That's true. Today is the day, and you are playing a crowd harumpher.
You know the scene where Scrooge yells down to the little boy about the turkey in the window?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's at the end.
Yeah. I'm the sidewalk.
So best supporting actor,
I mean,
basically.
Nail it.
Right.
Yeah.
They were told me to lie there flat. Don't
uh-huh.
say anything.
Sure.
And if there's a little bit, if the concrete is sinking a little bit, I'm going to call PermaSeal, and they're going to use their poly-level system
nice.
At 800-421-SEAL.
Yeah,
that's a great system, by the way.
By the way, notice all the product placement we work in during the show today. And then the original Christmas Carol, there wasn't nearly as much as you're going to hear today.
Exactly.
A Christmas Carol, 10 a.m. today, live
hey boy,
on WGN.
Hey, is that turkey in the window? And I'm just lying there on the sidewalk.
Nick, what's your part today?
I am the. This is just. It's going to be a stretch for me. I'm actually the nicest character.
Oh, that's
in the
right.
Play.
And Sandberg's
oh,
your
come
wife.
On, I am, Nick, yes, come nephew. On. I am Scrooge's nephew, Fred, and
you're married
Sandberg,
to Sandberg.
Is my wife. I was the married. Good, I was married to Andrea last year.
Yeah, I.
Sandberg.
Left.
The good news is Nick divorces every woman. So
that's right.
So you can get back the pat by.
No,
the
actually,
night.
The woman
Happy
divorces me.
Well, that's what I want to be more accurate. Yeah.
I hope I make out in the divorce.
Yes.
Whoa, hello.
Yes. No, it's not she said she hopes she makes out in the divorce, not that she hopes she makes out.
Oh, I thought
out.
She, I just heard makes out.
Yeah, no, in the divorce.
In the divorce.
The
Got it.
That's what every one of my wives have said.
I upgraded my role, though. I don't want Lou to be jealous. I've gone from Nick's wife to woman number two.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh. Very nice. And the thing is, if there's snow on my sidewalk, Mary Sandberg is going to.
Plow it.
Give it a push.
Push it.
Per push.
Push it.
Push it real good.
You know, I don't have straight out of context for 2 weeks now. Yeah.
Salt and pepper never sounded so white.
Yeah.
Push it. Push it real good.
It's because I am.
6:27. Kevin's in Harvard. Kevin, what's your question for Luke? Because you're the first caller and you win.
Oh, that's super. Luke, I had a quick question. It's regarding Christmas lights, the LED Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they differ from year to year when you're buying the same color and the same wattage and everything else like that? I mean, my wife has like three different colors of white on the damn Christmas tree.
Well, it could be, you know, the branding, the way these things get built, the technology changes constantly. And so even from one brand to another, the diodes can be a different color, the lens that they put on. But also what can happen over time is that there is a little bit of fading on the actual glass that covers the diode.
I think it's pretty impressive that a husband noticed this.
Yeah.
So, well, it's making her crazy. So.
No, there you go. Right. There you go. She doesn't like
it. Making me crazy. Remember, happy wife, happy life.
Right. Yeah.
So here's kind of a tip to think, because it does matter which brands you buy, and you want to try and stick with them. But if you're going to go buy and switch to LED for holiday lights, and which I totally think everyone should, because they
what you did last year, it is the same brand though from last year to this year.
Right. So then it's a fading issue between the new and the old, and when you go to switch, buy a couple extra pair in the same kind of keep in, you know, storage, you know, for back stock, basically. But
Liz's been a longtime lobbyist for the LED Christmas lights. It's Christmas lights.
Well, and then I think they're fantastic. So no,
what you can do is if you had, you know, the thing where you notice it the most is if it's a run of bushes or a tree and you plug one into another. And so if you can separate those and have a break, in other words, it's bush on one side of the sidewalk and the other, you may not see the difference at all at that point, but you need a break.
Okay. You've won an April A. You've won an April Air. Is it a good thing I've only got two shows left this year? You've won an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air or on your darn smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men, no longer featuring Morley Safer. 855-955-HVAC.
You all have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thanks, buddy. Hold on. Don't hang up. All right, Lou, last-minute Christmas tool belt handyman gift ideas.
Well, I'm going to give you a bunch from the fine folks at Ace Hardware. They have a whole end cap full of $9.99 stocking stuffers from DeWalt. Screw bit sets, which are awesome. It's a great deal. It's about $24 worth of stuff for $9.99. They also have a whole line of, have you ever heard of these emu hammocks?
No.
All right.
They're made out of emus?
No. But it's a nylon hammock, Steve, that, honest to goodness, you and I could get into, that you use outside. Oh, it comes in a little
pack. Let me tell you something. For years, he's been trying to get me into a hammock.
Come on, Steve. Come on. Come on.
Someone on the staff has a hammock,
come in here
by
with
way.
Me.
How much?
I played sidewalk number one.
How much would people pay for you and I spooning in a hammock? Oh, come on, God. Please.
Come on.
That'd be big money.
It could be like a fundraiser. But these things are really cool. They're about 69 bucks or so, but they fold up. If you have anybody in your outdoor category where people like to go outside, these things are so comfortable and so strong that it's amazing. And then one other thing.
Are the trees sold separately? You got to hook them to?
Trees are sold separately, and there's a strap kit that you can use to take with you outside.
Do you have a hammock?
I do not, but I've laid in someone's hammock. Now this is how.
I feel so bad for Nick. His head's exploding.
No, wait. This is why this is so. This is why we're all so connected. I laid in Dave Annett's hammock for an episode of House Smarts with Lou Manfredini.
You got a hammock, dude?
I do have a hammock. Yes.
Do the critters that dance around in your Disney film?
It's actually my second hammock. Critters ate
the buckthorn. It pokes him in the rear end.
It's right near the buckthorn, actually.
Wait, get back. The sidewalk's getting frisky.
What's wrong, Vanderbilt?
Three of you were in a hammock together?
No.
What?
I shot a House Smarts piece in Dave Annett's hammock.
Was Dave in the hammock with you?
No.
Oh.
I wasn't even home.
I thought all
Dave's
three.
Wife I didn't
was.
Even know. I didn't even know they were there.
How often does Andrea come out and just lay in your hammock?
I'm not sure.
Dave's wife, Karen, was a wonderful hostess. She was there.
Oh, that's incredible.
She
it's
and I were not in the hammock together.
It is my second hammock. Critters ate through the first one.
This was, Andrea, what you're not telling him, this was the House Smarts episode that we call After Dark.
That's right.
Hello. All right, back to the tool belt. I need a couple more ideas for a last-minute Christmas handyman gift ideas.
Weber just came out with a brand new, whole new design of their Weber Genesis 2 grills, which are really nice. Lower profile, open underneath with a nice shelf area so you can keep track of everything. And, again, this is a total Ace plug, but if you buy any grill for $399 or over, they will assemble and deliver for free for the holidays.
Well, that's great. And one more.
One more is the Milwaukee Drill Driver set. It's a screw gun with also a separate hammer drill attachment, all cordless, really nice quality stuff. I want to say the retail is about $169.
By the way, you go to any Ayers Hardware and mention Lou's name, and they'll tell you to get out.
Right.
All right. Now, whiny staff questions. Mary Vanneville.
Just a quick one. Isn't there some sort of weird made-for-TV tool to pull out hair from the drain? My husband was griping about that the other day.
Well,
he was
yeah, there's a time. Couple of there's a couple of these little whips, these plastic. It's not even made for TV, but there's a product called the Drain Claw that I've talked about before. It's literally a piece of wire with Velcro on the end. And you know that hardware store that's in your neighborhood?
Yes, I know the one.
They carry it.
Would that be Ace?
It would be. Villa Park Ace.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't you own a couple of Ace Hardwares?
We do.
Where are those?
One's in Mary's backyard, Villa Park, and the other one's in Edgebrook in Chicago.
Mary, why can't you support Lou's Hardware Store?
I does. My husband is there like every day.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Let's see. Whiny.
Can't get him to leave.
And they have popcorn.
Whiny staff questions. Let's go to a caller here. Is this John DeCoss?
Yeah, good morning.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
We have a whiny staff question for Lou?
Yeah, Lou, my wife and I were just talking about this. Is there, are there two shows on New Year's Eve for Steve Cochran's New Year's Eve show?
It's so funny that you mentioned that. There is one. I know that it's at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, there's another one at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, there's one at 1.
Yeah.
And I think that one's in Downers Grove.
Nope. 1 o'clock is, so Mr. Smarty Pants here's got all the answers. 1 o'clock. Crystal Lake, the Rouse Center,
right.
rousecenter.org.
What a beautiful theater, I've heard.
6 o'clock, the Tivoli in Downers Grove.
And it's some classictheater.com website.
Not
right?
even close. Classiccinemas.com.
Tivoli is beautiful, by the way.
Tivoli is beautiful. Classiccinemas.com, 6 o'clock show. Rousecenter.org, 1 o'clock show. Hey, good question, John.
Hey, no problem. That's why I'm here.
All right, last question from Dave.
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
Poking me in my butt when I'm in my hammock.
When I'm in the hammock, that's right.
Laundria.
Thank you, Lou.
Are you with us next Friday?
Lou? To me?
Yeah. All right, so I'll save my Merry Christmas for then.
Well, you're going to see me today.
Well, no, I mean,
are
I'm
you
here.
Giving me a hug today?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I'm bringing my hammock.
I'm going to do that thing like we won the World Series where I jump into your arms.
Great.
Good luck to your back.
It's good.
All right, hold the line. There you go. Stretch right down.
Sidewalk number one.
I don't even know what's happening here. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
Dick, back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Welcome back to Memphis. I'm here with San Antonio coach Greg Popovich.
Are we on?
Yes, we are.
I got to honestly tell you, this is the first time I've enjoyed doing this ridiculous interview we're required to do. And it's because you're here and you're back with us. Welcome back, baby.
Well, thank you very much. I lay in the hospital for months hoping to do this again.
Now ask me a couple of inane questions.
Okay, with less than 4 minutes to go in this game, you bench your entire, in the first quarter, bench your entire first unit. Was that back-to-back or are you upset with the way they played?
No, they were playing like crap, so we put in different guys.
You're shooting under 35%. Are you happy with the shot selection?
Happy?
No, you never.
Am I happy?
I've heard that before.
Craig, come on, get back
to
the swing of
things.
You too, baby. Love you.
Greg Sager passed away yesterday, 65 years old, far, 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 far too young. Leaves behind a wife and 5 kids, one of the best guys you would ever meet in the show business of sportscasting. Dave, you knew him. I only had brief encounters with him. Every time I did, it was a pleasure. Grew up in which burb?
Batavia.
Yeah. When did the loud sports coat thing start? Because Craig Sager was first a national figure when he rushed out to greet Hank Aaron along with a few selected other media members when Hank Aaron hit 715.
It started, I think he was doing like the weather in Tampa and went out and got a loud sport coat and they told him not to wear it. But at some point,
became his signature.
But once he was on Turner, then he became known for that. But he also became known that helped him stand out, but ultimately he became known for much, much more.
And we should backtrack just a touch here. Greg Popovich, the Spurs coach who you heard there with Craig Sager, was notoriously difficult to interview. So, Popovich, and I don't disagree with Popovich's essential premise here,
right,
that the stopping the coach from coaching the game interview is idiotic. Having said that, you got a job to do and the coach has a job to do, and he could have been more helpful, but he wasn't. in some weird way, that made it more sweet when Sager came back from the dead the first time, and they had that moment. He leaves behind friends everywhere he went, and I thought his ESPY speech last time was amazing, where he talked about time, and time is just the way you live your life, and we don't know how much we have, and I intend to live mine to the fullest. His son is a hero. His son kept him alive, I believe, twice with bone marrow transplants.
That's correct. He had three bone marrow
transplants. Which is really, they don't do.
Right.
Right? It just doesn't happen.
The third from an anonymous donor.
So a life well lived in too short a period of time. One of his big buddies is Ernie Johnson, right?
Ernie Johnson Jr. from TNT, who's the studio host on the NBA coverage. And we talked to him, remember, during the NCAA tournament.
And Sager's name came up. Here's that clip.
He is an absolute warrior and a guy who, and I would tell people in the first year and a half that he's going through this, like I was doing a game in Houston last year, a baseball game in Houston. He's at MD Anderson, and he comes by the ballpark, and he's looking kind of beat up, and he's still Sags. He's still this positive force. And this guy who you spend 5 minutes with him and you just leave fired up. And it's the same way now. And so I got nothing better than prayer.
Right.
I haven't found anything in all my years on the planet. And so if you're that type, please toss him up for Segs and his wife and his family. And when I was going through treatments and stuff, look, you may have cancer. It doesn't have you. And if you have that kind of a mentality where it's, look, I'm not going to let you dominate, I'm not going to let you be who I am, then you just try to carry that through. He has done that from day one, and so we just keep pulling for him, keep praying for him.
You know, we throw around cliches like one of a kind pretty easily, but he is really. I mean, there's nobody like him. That I'm aware of, and it's not going to be something that you're going to be able to replicate by some kid getting out of school now at 22 or 23, and you'll turn that turn into Sager down the road. I don't know that the opportunity even exists for that anymore.
I'm not sure it does. I'm not sure it does. Have you got time for one more quick clip here?
Sure, yeah.
This is your friend, Steve Kerr, coach of the Golden State Warriors, who, of course, worked for TNT for a long time doing games.
Yeah, I talked to him last week about his pot problem. That's another story.
That's a different story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this was his comment last night. They did a real nice tribute before Golden State's game with the Knicks.
I think around the NBA, right? Didn't all the NBA games last night stop down?
Everybody did it last night, but Kerr actually got on the microphone before the game. But before that, he talked about his friend Craig Sager.
We lost somebody very important in all of our lives. You know, the players know Craig so well from being interviewed, being a TNT night. You know, I've run into a bunch of my former colleagues there who, you know, they're all devastated. And so it's you know, Craig's death and the news today obviously far outweighs anything that happens in the gym.
Like Kirk gets it, you know, and he feels it.
Sure.
And he's a good man. The NBA lesson today, but we're all a little less for the loss of Craig Sager. And you know what? The older you get, the more you appreciate time. And again, 65. Come on. Cancer sucks. The Hawks get down early. They get ahead. They get tied up. They have a phenomenal power play, and eventually they get the winner. Oh, you're going to love this Hawks Express, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and everything else they do.
Go for a season sweep of the New York area teams tonight as they finish business in the Big Apple in a showdown with Long Island's group. Up to Jason Chimera, putting it from the net. Andrew Ladd shoots and scores. A former Hawk, Andrew Ladd, with his fourth goal on the season. He put it past Darling, 1-0 New York Island. Anisimov in over the Islander line. Put it to the left point. Kane shot it across to Seabrook. Pass bumps off his stick. Kuhlman into the Hawk zone. Long wrist shot. They score. Islanders with two goals inside the first 4 minutes of the hockey game. Lead it 2-0. Hawks control off the draw. Seabrook right point. Moves in. Head to left circle. Panarin one timer. He scores. Artemi Panarin took a brilliant feed from Seabrook. Stefani drilled it past Bryce. The Hawks are on the board with a power play goal. 2-1 Isles. Now to Keith along the right boards. 46 seconds of the power play. To Panarin in front now. Anisimo Chuchi scores! It was a beautiful pass from Panarin over to Kane at the bottom of the right circle. Hawks have tied it at 2. Think about that penalty that Hartman drew now. Hosts in front, shoots and scores! Oh, man, the Hawks are hot. It's now 3-2 in favor of the Hawks. Strome for the Islanders along the left boards. Hawks out. Pins a puck behind the net. Seabrook is finished off with a check from Shane Prince. Spun it around on out. A shot from the line. They score. We're tied at 3. Kane is now out of the box. The Hawks are at full strength. Isles 0 for 1 on their power play. Hamonic with a shot from the right point. They score. That was tapped down to the ice by Anders Lee. To Kane beside the right circle with 24 for the period. To Keith in the slot. To Seabrook, deep slot. To Panarin left circle. One-timer. Score! A howitzer from Artemi Panarin. That one looked like it went past Thomas Grice's ear. Taken by Rasmussen. Put it in front. Panic shoots. He scores! Richard Panic back on the score sheet. A nice handoff there from Rasmussen from behind the Islander net. Panic was in front and wristed it past Grice. Hawks lead again at 5-4. And the Hawks have won their third game in a row and a sweep of the teams from the New York City area. The Devils earlier in the year, the Rangers a couple of nights ago, and here tonight at the Barclays Center, they hang on and beat the New York Islanders 5-4.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Nicely done, boys. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. It's your Blackhawks next game. Davis, when?
It is tomorrow night, the Blackhawks and the Blues, a precursor to the Winter Classic.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
713, don't make me laugh, is it? Jake's got like 14,000 Christmas songs he can play, but at 31 years old, he likes Grazing in the Grass.
It's a great song.
Smooth about that.
But Jake's 31.
It's a fly jam.
Grazing in the Grass was recorded 31 years before he was born.
But how great is this for a Friday pick-me-up song at 7 a.m.? Yeah.
It's a great song. Good choice.
Thanks, Nick. You should be here more often.
Happy birthday yesterday to my goddaughter and lovely and talented and goofball niece, Claire.
Aww.
Birthday was yesterday.
Birthday.
Tomorrow is Abigail Grace's first birthday. And our guest brought me a gift. This is, as you know, Abigail Grace has only known a Cubs World Series winner.
That's right.
Yes, yes, that's all she's ever known. And it says, born to fly the W for the Cubs from Advocate Hospital.
Oh, that's adorable. It's got the W flag and the logo.
And, yeah, it's very cool. By the way, Sunday is her father Ross's birthday, and Monday is my mom's birthday.
Got a lot
that's a lot of celebrating.
A lot of present
yeah,
buying
before
going
Christmas,
on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told them no gifts.
you are their gift, right?
Tom Sommerfeld's Vice President of Research and Innovation at Advocate Healthcare. Tom, do you have this in a big and tall? Because I think it'd be great if Abigail and I could each wear a onesie. Maybe we could talk
we'll
to somebody.
On that. Yeah.
We'll how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Nice to have you here. Happy holidays.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You got a new study about to come out talking about how slight changes in the way we do nutrition could keep some people out of your hospital, and really that's the goal, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Better outcomes at a lower cost.
So when we look at the end of Obamacare in some form, and we look at whatever the new world of healthcare is going to be, it sort of starts with personal responsibility and nutrition, but it also starts with training and education. So what do we need to know?
Very nice setup. Thank you.
Not my first day.
I appreciate that. I think that, you know, in whatever happens post Obamacare, there's going to be lasting impressions in the healthcare system. Changes need to be made. And sometimes it's the most simple things like taking care of nutrition, which is not part of medical school curricula and really was for a long time put down to the cafeteria. And now we're starting to, at least in this study, surface that and say there is a component of clinical nutrition. People need protein and calories, of course, but they also need micronutrients like selenium and copper, other things for the healing process and to ward off infections.
How do you combine what you know you need? Like, Nick, you're old enough to know this, too, because you and I grew up in relatively the same era.
Yeah.
What are you, 2 years younger than me, 3 years?
I'm 51.
Okay, so you're three, 4 years younger.
4 years younger.
Yeah, yeah. Creep. Plunk kid. Get out of my yard. But we grew up with the five food groups. You know, you get the five basic food groups, and they usually came in a slide. You know, what do we have? We had breads, meats.
Yeah, vegetables.
Vegetables, fruits,
vegetables, and dairy.
Dairy,
yeah. Yeah. That was it. Really, was it the same in the 80s?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. They inverted the pyramid. They made it a different way, so you had to add a couple more grains.
They put it on the back of a members-only jacket. Remember? That's how you knew it was the 80s.
Yeah. Remember the little chart, the triangle?
So the reason I bring this up is as we transition it, you know, faster than ever with technology, people want it easy. And they want to eat what they want to eat, so we need to demonstrate to them that they're hurting themselves. I think we do a pretty good job of that.
Yeah.
So how do we make it easy? How do we make it easy so I can go? Because I don't know. You know, you say selenium and copper. Unless I'm gnawing on some piping in the bathroom, right. I don't know where am I getting my copper and selenium?
Yeah. So, you know, what we noticed is from the 30 years of literature that's out there, 30 to 50% of people getting admitted to the hospital are malnourished or at risk.
30 to 50%?
Yep. At risk of being malnourished or malnourished, a huge percentage.
So there's a lot of people listening right now who don't even know they're malnourished.
Correct. And it's not just, you know, you can't tell by looking at someone. It's not looking at them and their skin and bones. In fact, people that are obese can be malnourished.
Okay.
Because you may not be getting the right proteins, the right mix of food groups and so forth. And, you know, when you're sick and being admitted to the hospital, you may not feel like eating. So you've not been eating, you're sick, the disease is working on your body already, and it's not something that the normal diet's not going to get you there. So we were supplementing people's meals with oral nutritional supplements that are specially designed with copper, selenium, these other kinds
vitamins?
Of things. And vitamins, of course.
But vitamins are different than what you're talking about.
Vitamins are part of these supplements.
Okay, so...
So we made it easy for them. It was all in one bottle. They drank it. Twice a day.
Can we get some in here?
Of course.
But you shouldn't do vitamins instead of, right? So if the doctor says you need more vitamin D, you just take, you should really drink more milk or whatever is full of vitamin D as opposed to just popping the vitamins, right? Or no?
Well.
Oh, that's a good point. Can you substitute a known source for with a vitamin?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can, but the sort of absorption process and things like that, you know, so it's best obviously to follow what your doctor says. But really, in this world, I'll give you a perfect example. My mother was recently diagnosed with lung cancer. Had to have
surgery.
Sorry
to hear that.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks. Had to have surgery. The first thing I did is said, Mom, 3 days before surgery, or five days before surgery, start this. Get the nutrition up because you don't want to go in malnourished. And then through her hospital stay, 2 bottles a day, and then even after that. And she, you know, reported being strong. She was out of the hospital in, you know, 4 days, I think it was. So that's my one case, just my anecdote. But then our research really looked at 1,200 patients going through the hospital and getting this versus not. And it really made a difference. 2 days shorter lengths of stay, which is if you put
that's a big deal.
That's a big economics on that is, you know, $3,000 at least per patient. And then, you know, one of the big risks in healthcare and what Medicare is really focused on is readmissions. So once you get in the hospital, they don't want you to be coming back because of complications or whatnot. So we actually reduced the readmission rate by 27% in these four hospitals that we looked at, which in annual savings is $2 million. Just those four hospitals.
Defeat Malnutrition is the website where you can find out more about this. It's Defeat Malnutrition. Dot today. This isn't just for older folks who are getting sick or younger folks who may be sickly. We know that malnutrition weakens your immune system, which leads to problems. But malnutrition could be the cause, right? It could be the cause of why you're feeling tired, why you're never feeling good.
Certainly puts you at risk and in a weakened state.
All right. Outside of hiring our own chefs and nutritionists and doing all those things, the next step for Advocate has to be you send us the plan. Here's what you're going to do because, you know, we're all signed up right now. And what I don't want them, and you know this, tomorrow and the next day we go, oh, boy. Yeah, I was going to do that nutrition thing, but I'm really tired. And it's easier to whip into this drive-through. And, you know, I'll skip dinner tonight because I'm too tired to cook. I'll make up for it tomorrow. And it just builds up, right?
Absolutely.
So it's got to be a routine. You got to take it seriously enough to make it part of your life.
Absolutely. And I think you mentioned.
And by the way, I'm talking to me.
Yeah, all of us, right?
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
all
yeah
of us. We all need to do that.
And I think, you know, you started off with Obamacare.
Right.
And one of the lasting impressions that's going to be with us is our accountability to our own health, which we've not been attentive to.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
So we're getting, we're overweight, and then we need our knees replaced and our hips replaced. And then that puts it at risk for all kinds of other things.
Right.
So that's the perfect example.
Is it ever too late to start eating healthy and being healthy? Because I know a lot of people might say, you know what, I'm at the point, I'm in my 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever it might be. It's too late for me, but you should do it younger. It's never too late,
is it? It's never too late. Absolutely not. And, you know, you look at folks that are in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s when there's a, you know, risk of fall. When you fall, that's a big deal. And proper nutrition is a great way to prevent those kinds of
things. Well, somebody brought this up to me the other day. Dave, you're, and this goes to your situation, Dave, your dad's 92?
He'll be 93 on Sunday.
Be 93 on Sunday. And if you call your dad, what's one of the worst, I'm assuming, one of the first things you say is, how you feeling?
Yes.
And the best thing you can hear is feeling good.
Yeah.
Just because you're 93 and not 33 or 13 doesn't mean you don't want to wake up the next day and feel better than you did yesterday.
Right.
So, yeah, if you get one more great day,
right,
that's great.
What's really interesting about nutrition is that you take somebody that's in their 40s and they're inactive. They're in, you know, they're sick or they're just hanging out at home. It takes about 10 days for lean body mass to start to diminish, right? Your muscles. That same scenario in a 60-year-old, it takes 3 days.
Is that right?
So it accelerates.
Which is why you feel terrible if you're working out and then you stop for a week.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, Tom. An insurer was part of this. You know, most hospitals use insurer as a nutritional supplement. I don't know why we don't drink this stuff every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when my mom was getting older, she drank insurer all the time. So I guess I just imprinted on my brain.
Yeah.
Well, when you get really old, it's good.
Roy Leonard did too. Roy Leonard drank it all the time.
Why aren't we drinking it all the time?
Yeah. It really is getting those extra supplements for everybody.
I mean, it's right at the Walgreens. Just
right.
Yeah. Right there. Just get it.
Yep.
I'm going to go on an all-insure plan.
We actually have the second part of our study, the follow-up, is pushing the same nutritional program into folks that have home health care. So you got nurses coming into the homes, and we're suggesting they continue the same thing.
DefeatMalnutrition.today, AdvocateHealth.com, and Abbott.com are great places to go for information on health in general. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Go have an insure.
You bet.
Yeah, charge it to me. We have Hawks tickets to give away. We'll come back and do that. Here's what we're going to do, Dave. We're going to play Bowl or Not a Bowl.
And my favorite game.
And well, of course, because you're the host. Mm-hmm. And the winner will get Hawks tickets. Nick, you're going to be in on this. We're going to have to guess, along with a listener, 312-981-7200. We're going to help them, whether it's a real bowl or not a bowl. How many total bowl games do we have?
We have 42 bowl games.
How many are in this segment?
Well, these are going to be multiple choice.
Right, so we have three or four bowl games.
We have
five
sets
bowl
of three.
Games.
We can ask this. We can
all right, so let's do this. Well, we can do this a couple of times, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So this first set of three, the listener has to get two of three correct to win. And if they don't, they'll win anyway, because that's how I roll.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Joining us now on the phone is Paul the Listener. Let's go to Paul the Listener. Hello, Paul the Listener. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Do you think you know your bowls?
I hope so.
We have Blackhawks tickets. If you're a winner, you can ask for help from Andrea, from Nick, or from me when we play Bowl or Not a Bowl. Let's go to Dave Ennett, who will give us a choice of how many bowls?
Well, it'll be a choice of three bowls here.
Three bowls, one of them
is not a real bowl.
All right. Three bowls, one is not a bowl. So are they guessing what the fake is?
They're guessing which one is the fake bowl.
All right. Bowl or not a bowl? You must guess what the fake bowl is. What are our choices?
And you can't look them up.
Yeah.
Honor
system.
First of all, the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
Okay.
The In-N-Out Burger Primetime Bowl.
All right.
Or the Belk Bowl.
Belk, B-E-L-K.
B-E-L-K.
Two of those are actual bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, do you have a guess?
I'm thinking it's the third one, the Belk Bowl. I've never heard of that.
The Belk Bowl. Would you like help from us, or is that your guess?
I'll get help from you, Steve. What are you thinking?
I don't like that In-N-Out one. The In-N-Out one. When you said In-N-Out, I thought I was talking about a belly button. In-N-Out. In-N-Out. I think it's In-N-Out, dude.
Really? Well, they have that In-N-Out burger, so I thought maybe they had a bowl.
But here's my thought. It's only a West Coast chain, and they would want a national footprint for their bowl, so that's why it's a fake bowl.
Unless they're expanding.
You'd go for a good In-N-Out burger.
Your call, dude. Belk or In-N-Out?
I'm going to go with Belk.
Oh, which one was it, Dave?
It was the In-N-Out Burger Prime Time Bowl.
I guess
it's a good thing you asked for help.
Yeah, Paul, I guess maybe next time you'll listen. All right, Paul, you still have an opportunity here. There's two more bowls. If you get both of these correct by picking the fake bowl, you're still going to win the Hawks tickets. But what are our second choices?
All right, Paul, let's go. The Trump International Palm Beach Bowl.
Okay.
The Advocare V100 Texas Bowl.
Okay.
Or the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Okay, the famous Idaho thing is definitely a bowl.
She didn't ask for help yet.
Well, I'm just thinking that we talked about it last year. Yeah. All right, Paul, you got a guess.
I'm gonna say that Trump is the fake one.
It does feel like Trump. It does feel like it.
Yeah.
You guys on board?
It feels fake, yeah.
Trump feels fake.
I wish it was fake.
We're all going Trump. All right.
Oh, it wasn't even hacked. Look at this.
How about that? Still in the game.
Paul, it's a tremendous bowl.
It's huge.
It's a huge, tremendous bowl.
Until the bowl says something about me I don't like. All right, bowl or not a bowl number three. This is the key, Dave. This is the win
this
or
is
lose.
The one. This is it.
All right, pick the
right,
fake bowl.
Here we go, Paul. We're rooting for you. The Motel 6 Cactus Bowl.
They'll leave the lights on for you, even if it's a day game.
They will. The Amazon Prime Bowl or the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl.
Give me that last one again.
The Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl.
I've literally never heard of Nova Home Loans.
Nor have I. That's my first thought is I've never heard of that, so I'm thinking it's that one.
What were the first two again?
The Motel 6 Cactus Bowl.
Yeah, I think it's that one.
Or the Amazon Prime Bowl.
Amazon spends money on everything. Nova, yeah. Because we haven't heard of it, because it... Yeah, it's Motel 6, dude. I'd go Motel 6 if I were you.
All right. I'm going to trust you this time.
Motel 6?
Yep. What? Get out.
Was Amazon he right? Prime?
There is no Amazon Prime Bowl.
Really?
Dave, that was a good one.
Well, Paul, here's the deal. Since both of us are wrong, you're right and you win.
Yeah.
This is why the networks haven't given me a game show. I give away the prizes to everybody.
I love your game show.
Congratulations, thanks, dude. You've got tickets to see the Hawks in San Jose Sunday night, also known as Ross Cochran's birthday. You're going to be entered to win 4-season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Rose got extra tickets later. You can see all this online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com and on Facebook. Hey, Paul, congratulations. Hold on. We're back after this with a big story on 720 WGN. If Dan Hampton would have worn the human highlighter unis that the Seahawks had on last night.
I don't see that. They didn't have the rush,
the color rush,
uniforms back then.
The glow sticks.
Hey, Hamp, if they came to you with the same uniforms the Seahawks wore last night, would you go full Chris Sale on them and cut them up?
Wow. And we thought Halloween was over.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was bad.
Look ridiculous. I thought my television was broken, you know, couldn't adjust the color. It's a Bears-Packers weekend, and it's got no buzz. It's sad to me.
Well, first and foremost, you know, and this, you know, this weather issue is going to be the topic du jour for the next 2 days until the actual game. And I got to tell you, yeah, it in the abstract, yes, it is very sad. This is the oldest rivalry in pro football, and everybody wants to talk about the fact that it's going to be pretty chilly. So, you know, I personally am hoping the Bears don't get deluded into thinking, you know, they're just going to go through the motions and put up another loss and allow the Packers an unimpeded trip to the playoffs, but we'll find out Sunday. I'm hoping you know, the team wants to rally and get after folks.
We'll get into this in greater detail after the break here. We're going to try to catch up here in just a second and then come back, and Dave will jump in. And Dave's got a couple of good Packers-Bears memories we were talking about off the air the other day as well. But you have told me, Hampson, this came up yesterday, you have told me that if you let the cold bother you, your head's already out of the game. But this is a special kind of cold. This is 1 degree plus wind and minus 20 wind chill. I mean, as a player, you got to notice that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's a little bit of a quandary. You say, I'm not going to let the weather bother me or you know, enter into the mental approach to this game. But you're kind of an idiot if you don't realize how cold it is. I'll never forget the 83 Packer game, walking out on the field before the game. It was still AstroTurf back then. Oh, joy. And I spit, and my spit shattered on the AstroTurf.
Wow.
And I knew, being from Arkansas, I never seen anything like this before.
That's so gross on so many levels.
Oh.
I know some guys that grew up on the Iron Range who, you know, grew up in a situation where maybe there was a rush to get to the bathroom. They'd go outside for a tinkle, and it was that kind of special cold, and it'd freeze before it hit the ground. Hmm? Huh? That's a circus trick. That's something you don't see every day.
It grows on so many levels.
It's 7:48. We'll come back and see how cold Dave is. What? We'll come back and Dave will jump in and tell us a couple Packers-Bears stories. We'll actually break down this game. And we'll try not to break down in tears over the bear season. First, though, here's Mary. Hall of Famer Dan Hampton on Packers-Bears weekend. Dave Ennett, say hello.
Hamp, good morning. I'm going to bring up some memories here for you. One of them, a game in which you played, and it would have been your second year in the league, and it remains the most lopsided game in the history of this series. It was December 7th, 1980 at Soldier Field. I was there. I know you were there. The Chicago Bears beat the Green Bay Packers by the unbelievable score of 61-7.
They're giggling like a schoolgirl, man. It's a great memory, I'll bet.
Oh, you know, that was pre-Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers days.
It was Lynn Dickey.
Oh, yeah, those are the good old days.
And a highlight of that game for you was what?
And we've talked about it many, many times, how ugly the rivalry actually was back in the 80s. It was one of those, you know, poke somebody in the eye and laugh. I think Ricky Watts caught like 2 or 3 60-yard bomb touchdowns. And, you know, it was one of those it's like the priest and Caddyshack making putts from everywhere. Everything works.
No, 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 no.
There you go. And hey, I sure like to see another game like that, but I don't think we're going to see one this Sunday.
Who was the Bears quarterback that day?
It was Vince Evans. He passed for 3 touchdowns. Walter Payton scored 3 touchdowns.
How about that?
And it was just it was
61
total to demolition.
7. All right. Well, this current collection of Bears, and that's exactly the sentence I wanted to say, leads us to this Packers game where the Packers are coming off another big win and roughing up a team that was pretty used to having their defense have their way, talking about the human highlighters, the Seattle Seahawks. So coming off a win like that, are we getting them at a good time or a bad time?
Well, either way, you still got to play. And the Packers may be thinking, you know, down the road, they're going to have a season-ending showdown with Detroit. They know they've got to win out. And Aaron Rodgers went on record, 4 weeks ago, and said, guess what? You know, and he didn't say relax, but he basically said, hey, we've got this. And since that time, I think he's thrown 10 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. So, you know, the guy, he's pretty good, and he's backing it up. And we know that he's got a little bit of an owie with the calf, and he was limping around at the end of the game against the Seahawks this past weekend. We don't know exactly, but, you know, when it's really, really, really cold, I still marvel at the skill players and how they catch, throw, and hold on to the football when it's so brutally cold. That's, you know, everybody talks about, oh, when it's, you know, the wind chill at 20 below and all that. The only thing I really ever really worried about was my hands, you know, and I don't know how you could catch the ball. Well, we'll find out how proficient he's going to be in you know, the sub-zero wind chill. But hey, how about Matt Barkley? We're going to, you know, last week was a pretty big indication of who he was and how he was able to, you know, to step up and meet the moment on the road in a hostile environment against a playoff team. Well, we're going to see a lot more about what this guy brings to the table come Sunday.
The Packers have put themselves in a hole to make a playoff spot. A Bears win this weekend would essentially end that run for them. So this game means a lot more to him than just coming into town and trying to slap around the Bears.
Yeah, and again, that's what I said. They know they've got to win. So it's not like this is a look-through game. And you know and I know that, hey, this Packer team is beatable. We beat them last year on Thanksgiving night. We actually led 7-6 in the third quarter back in October when we played the first game of the season against them. And so this isn't a team that we all stand back and go, wow, we have no chance. No, this is they're beatable. But again, you gotta play the game. You can't make mistakes. The one overarching salvation that we have is, hey, every time we run Jordan Howard at least 23 times, we've won. And so that would be the mantra. Let's run the ball. Let's make them play run defense. And it's something they don't really want to do. They like to get up and rush the passer and kind of force you into mistakes. Let's run the ball. Let's see what happens if they got to play 60 minutes.
The Bears continue to deal with a variety of injuries. And Marquise Wilson now, Hamp, has been out of practice. And this kid just can't seem to stay healthy. Was out last year with a foot injury. Comes back this year late. And now he's hurt again.
Well, and what compounds that is the fact that Eddie Rumor can't get his toe healthy. We know Kevin White's basically been absent for 2 years. Alshon was out. Now he's back. That'll be interesting to see exactly what he brings to the table, knowing, you know, hey, this could be his last three-game stretch as a Chicago Bear. But you're exactly right. Marquise Wilson was a kid that had really developed and become not stellar as a second receiver, but competent. And that's what you got to have. You know, in the NFL, you look at the really good teams. If you've got a great receiver, well, that's one thing. But if they're doubled, nobody else can get open. Well, what do you got? Well, we had shown the last, you know, 3 weeks that some of these other receivers could, you know, separate and present themselves. Well, this is a big blow. He's a big body that is going to be missed, especially in a game like, you know, this, where, hey, you know, third and seven, we need a big body to catch a slant for a first down. And again, now we're going to be left to the Josh Jingle Bellamy routine of dropping on a, you know, serial notice.
Texters chiming in. Bears-Patriots game December 12th, few years ago. Snow-covered field, 30 below. But, hey, we had fun. And don't forget the Christmas Eve game from another texter where Favre said worst conditions he's ever played in. Bears won 35-7 to sweep the season. When there is no chance to have a big day passing the football, why not give it all day long and do it on the ground? Do it the way Lombardi would and beat those Packers. Come on, boys. Let the kid run.
Yep.
Hamp, prediction.
24-14, Green Bay Packers. Hey, and see, here's the thing. Once a team gets out there and there's more than 5-6 plays in a drive, the hands of the receivers and the quarterback, they're going to be so cold, they're not going to be able to. So look for early early series, you know, attempts at big plays. And I'm, and again, Aaron Rodgers is about as good as there is at throwing the ball deep.
Prediction, Dave?
Green Bay 16, Bears 7.
Bears 6-3.
Okay. Interesting.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Somebody hit me in the head. Oh, no, I'm sticking with it.
Okay?
Bears 6-3.
Hey, that was the first game I ever played against Green Bay score. 6-3, the opener in 1979. We beat them 6-3. It could be a redo of that game. I like that, Steve.
My tribute to you, man. You're my friend. That's all.
Steve was saying what he thinks the temperature is going to be.
No, no, no.
Listen,
if it gets to 6, the people are going to be celebrating. Congratulations to the Hall of Famer and OB and Kaz for putting on a show that scares Mark Carmen every week. What time does it start?
We come into your living room 3 o'clock this coming Sunday, and hopefully we'll have a lot to talk about.
And CLTV as well. Thank you, buddy. That's Dan Hampton from your Chicago Bears and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I don't know if you know that. He's a big guy and a big deal.
I do know that.
Okay. ChevyDriveChicago.com bringing you the Hall of Famer.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Nick DiGilio sitting in with the band today, Dean.
Very nice.
Hey,
very
Dean.
Nice. This is like when, you know, like Joey Bishop would be on the panel on Johnny Carson.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly right. And I'm smoking and drinking right now. So,
yeah.
That's, right. That's the whole Carson experience.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that's the only reason that you love Johnny Carson as much as you do, because just because you can watch people smoking, nonstop smoking.
It really was.
Last Sunday night's rerun, Bob Hope, Dean Martin, and right there, that's your show.
Yeah.
And it was. I mean, it was just spectacular.
Yeah, of course.
And
Carson used to bump people that didn't smoke in the 60s. If it came out you didn't smoke, he'd bump you off the show.
You couldn't even get on that show. Yeah. You didn't have a couple of packs of smokes. You know what I learned when I was at the Carson Studios in Burbank earlier this year? One of the highlights of the year, getting to go to that very studio,
that
Bob Hope did his all of those awful specials that Bob Hope did?
Yeah, same stage
where he would badly misread the cue cards.
Sure.
Not only the same studio, the same audience.
Yep.
They would keep the audiences from a Tonight Show when Bob Hope was on. They would keep that audience after the show, and he would stumble through reading the cue cards.
But a funny thing too about going to the old Tonight Show, you know, like I remember the first time I was there. And you think, this is Johnny Carson. It's the biggest deal on television. Well, you leave Hollywood. You drive for about 20 minutes. You go down into this valley known as Burbank,
right, which
looks like any suburb USA, except, you know, there's some hills around. And you drive a little farther. You pass a gas station and some nondescript, you know, restaurants. And there on the horizon, shining, gleaming, is Channel 4. And at the WNBC, or the KNBC studios in Los Angeles, as part of that, another part of the building, are production studios. One of the big ones is the Carson studio. But until you get inside there, it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's a building with a TV studio in it.
It's no
funny,
big deal.
It's funny, too, because, I mean, he mentions that in, like, every monologue. He makes fun of Burbank.
From beautiful Burbank.
From beautiful downtown Burbank. But it's funny, Dean, that you mentioned Bob Hope, because the reruns on Antenna TV this past, like, week, 5 out of the 7 reruns, Bob Hope shows up, because they're all Christmastime reruns.
Oh,
so
sure.
He just pops in, I got to tell you about my great special coming up with Angie Dickinson.
Joey Heatherton coming up.
Dean knows this. I think Dean knows this. I think you and I may have talked about this. I don't know if you're aware of this. Carson actively disliked Bob Hope. Now, not necessarily personally, but could not stand his act because it was that, you know, that old school, just out of vaudeville, joke, wait, punchline, that whole vibe. And he hated the fact that there were cue cards and he'd come out and it had to go bang, 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 bang. And it was hard as a host to set him up. It was all of that.
And I also heard that NBC gave him carte blanche, like Hope could show up on The Tonight Show anytime at any
moment. Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was told when I did those interviews last year that there was no love lost between them personally either. Mm-hmm. And there was one rerun that I saw in particular. You could really read it on Johnny's face. Usually he was polite, courteous, and professional, but there was one time that Bob Hope came on, and he was really condescending to Johnny Carson.
Right.
He was rearranging stuff on the desk that you could see was annoying Carson. He was moving his cigarette box and playing with his pencils and, you know, just things like that that I think are...
You just don't do.
Just, you know, sort of to get under the skin of the other person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hope was a major bee-buster. You know, a guy behind the scenes it was kind of difficult. And it wasn't because Johnny Carson didn't respect the generation that came before him. One of his idols was Jack Benny. He loved Jack Benny.
I'm using my Steve Cochran decoder ring right now. Bee Buster. Let's see. What could that be?
Rhymes with ball. Andrea dancing in the studio, having her Wilson Phillips moment.
Hey, I love it.
Nick's here, Dean's at Channel 9.
I'm actually in Los Angeles.
I was wondering, your microphone sounded funny. Are you with Carney Wilson right now?
Well, we wanted to make this big announcement here on your show, Steve.
You and Carney have announced that you're a couple. Carney, how are you?
Hi, good morning.
Congratulations on the big announcement between you and Dean Richards.
Hi, Carney, sweetie. Honey.
Hi, darling.
Are you in the L.A. area right now?
Yes, I am. It's bright and early.
Yes, it is.
It's bright, actually.
Dean is...
Me too.
Dean's in Los Angeles. What are you doing in L.A., Dean?
I'm going to be interviewing Denzel Washington in a few hours.
Ah, what's he ever done?
Bryan Cranston, James Franco, Megan Mullally. We've got a big weekend of... shows that we're doing here, but Carney, I don't know if Carney's looked outside or has the news on here. It's pouring, raining here, you know. And I was thinking, you know, I leave the cold weather in Chicago, and they've got this. It's actually pretty serious rain that they're having.
Yeah, well, there's
possible mudslides here.
Well, we're really feeling for you, Carney. It's going to be one below Sunday in Chicago.
Oh boy, we're used to it here.
All right, so you are on The New Apprentice with Schwarzenegger. Do you know the governor?
Yeah, I actually met him. We sang the national anthem years ago, and he was there, and we took a picture with him, and it was one of the scariest moments of my life, actually. All I said was, can I just turn to the right? Because I liked my left side of my face or some crap like that. And he goes, no. And he, like, put me back in my place. I almost...
Well, I find him to be a very nice guy. I think he's probably going to be a good host of this thing. But when your agent or whoever pitched this to you, were you a fan of the old show? And do you know what you're getting into here?
I was a fan. You know, there's a part of me that's really competitive, you know, and there always has been, and especially when it's for something you believe in, like your charity. So that's the main goal and the focus. So I thought, well, if I can raise money and maybe let, you know, I mean, I have a big heart, and I love people, and I'm always like wacky and crazy. But at the end of the day, I really try to extend my hand out there and help people. So, but I also know that I felt like there was going to be a different side of me that people would see, and they will. So it was really cool. But I was really intimidated. Of course I was, by every single person on the show. And the boardroom is like the scariest place. It's like walking the plank. I mean, I don't know what to say.
That's what I was going to ask you, Carney. Is it intimidating? I mean, because watching Trump, old Trump, previous Trump in the boardroom was very intimidating. Is it like that?
Well, we were very excited for the new energy that was coming into this, and really the main reason I decided to hop on. So this is like a new. It just feels different, but it's better. I mean, it's way better, in my opinion.
Here's the rest of the cast, and then we got Nick and Dean in here before we run out of time with you. Layla Ali, Brooke Burke, Charvet, Eric Dickerson, Boy George, Matt Eisenman, Kerry Keegan, Carson Kressley. By the way, why is that dude famous, Carson Kressley?
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
That's right. I'm totally spaced on that.
Wait, and you're going to
gloss awesome.
Over Boy George?
Yeah, well, Boy George and I sense the argument. Lisa Leslie, John Lovitz, Vince Neil, Snooki. Let's see, Kyle Richards and Portia Williams and Ricky Williams. I think I got everybody in. It's a huge cast. And have you done? Have you done the full season? Are they all finished?
Yes, they are. And you know, it's an eclectic bunch, and everybody is awesome in their own way. That's all I can tell you. The personalities are great, very very strong characters, and not characters like acting, but just everyone's character. It comes out, and it's pretty great.
Carney, I've known you for a long time. I would never ask you to violate the secrecy agreement. So, who wins?
Do you know that we don't know?
Is that right?
It's live, right? It's live, the finale's, yeah, the finale's live.
Ah, oh, look at you guys. Suddenly, yeah. I got a room full of apprentice experts here.
I used to watch it.
I did too. Yeah. I love this show. I want to know if Schwarzenegger says you're fired or if he comes up with his own line.
You've terminated.
Exactly.
Can you tell us that, Carney, or is that a surprise too?
I can't tell you.
Oh.
It's got to be you're terminated. It's got to
be
you're terminated.
It's got to be terminated. It's got to be.
How about you won't be back?
Or hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah. Hasta la vista.
Yeah.
I'll be back, but you
I would
won't
say
be.
Terminated because terminated is a pseudonym for fired.
Yeah, and it's better than you're furloughed. Your furloughed really doesn't work. Last question for Carney, Dean, before we run out of time.
I want to know what other projects she's working on right now, aside from this, which is finished. New music coming up, new television projects, movies, anything?
Well, my sister and I just recorded a great Christmas song with the Nelson twins. Nelson, you know, known as Nelson, Gunnar and Matthew. It's called This Christmas, and it's on the charts right now. It's very exciting. And we just performed on The Talk, and that's awesome. And then I have a line of small portion desserts called Love Bites launching next year, and it's a dream come true. I have a passion for baking and portion controlled, and it's awesome. I'm very very excited. My dreams are definitely, I'm living my dream.
Well, nice to talk to you. Nothing but success, and congratulations on intimidating Schwarzenegger. I know you can't tell me what you did, but I have a feeling he was scared of you this time.
I made him bread pudding, and I think I got him.
Nice. Well played by you. That's Carney Wilson. She is on the new Apprentice. All right, quickly, let's talk movies. Nick's here. Dean's here. What's coming up?
A little movie called Rogue One, Star Wars Story, officially opening today, that I gave Dean's List A-. I liked it. I had a great time watching it. I thought that the character development in the movie could have been a little stronger. I wanted more foreground personalities to care about the personalities, the major characters in the movie. Turns out the robot in the movie, I think, is the most endearing character in the movie, which is great. But overall, I like the movie. I don't want to make it sound like I didn't like it for that very, very minor flaw.
And Nick, you're seeing it today?
I'm seeing it after the office party today. And the one highlight for me, the one thing that I'm looking forward to most, is my childhood hero, Peter Cushing, coming back to life.
It's amazing, yeah. Steve. This is what I was telling you about the other day. The actor who died over 20 years ago, who they bring back with movie magic. It's the cameos from other people in the franchise.
W.C. Fields, Mae West, Jimmy Durante, they're all in this.
Bob Hope.
That make Bob this, Hope. Who knew the walk-on in the Star Wars bar was going to be such a big hit with Bob Hope?
Spinning a golf club. Anything opening against it? They're not doing any other movies.
Yes.
Right? Really?
Oh, yeah. Maybe one of the best movies of the year, La La Land, is opening this week. This is the musical that Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone have done, and it's absolutely delightful. It's a really interesting story about struggling musicians, struggling actors find each other, fall in love, and really the story is about, can they succeed as a couple as well as they did separately and while they were dating and getting to know each other, and in that, some of the most creative song and dance that I've ever seen. Now, this is not like Singing in the Rain. It's an adult musical. Somebody texted me yesterday and asked, can I take my 8-year-old daughter to this? She loves musicals. I think the content of the movie, it's not sexual or dirty or anything, but I think it just may be, it's really more for teenage and above, I think. And Star Wars, I might say, is super battle heavy, that little kids, you know, who not used to like ultra uber violence, There's a lot of it in the Rogue One movie as well.
And a lot of violence in La La Land, but they set it to music. What did you give La La Land?
Give it an A.
Have you seen La La Land?
Three times.
Three, and you loved it.
Probably going to be my number one movie of the year.
All right, we're out of time. So Dean and Nick will continue this conversation on cell phones. So if you're not on that line, you won't be able to get it. And a helpful texter chimed in, said the governor's line should be, to the choppa. Dean, Sunday on the radio, yes?
Sunday on the radio, live from Los Angeles. We'll have a great time.
All right. Good
I mean, I have nothing planned.
Hey, good plug.
I got nothing planned.
Good
right
plug.
Now. Got two whole days to plan the show, Steve. Plenty of time.
No doubt about it.
I'm Andrea Darlis on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Wintrust Community Bank Hour continues. This is show number 799. Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Jimmy DeCastro's birthday. Happy birthday to Jimmy. Information about a previous kid of the week we want to pass on coming up as well. And joining us now on the phone is Senator Dick Durbin, who I believe is road tripping somewhere downstate today. Is that right?
Well, I'm in Chicago on my way down to beautiful downtown Decatur, Illinois, and then over to Springfield, back up to Chicago. It's nothing but full-time fun.
What are you asking for Christmas?
Oh, man. Well, like, you know, people give me books, which is okay because I love to read. Mm-hmm. And I've got just about everything else accumulated. Now I'm giving away stuff right and left. So.
Right. So if you get re-gifted by a senior senator, that's a pretty good gift.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I got a few things to re-gift, that's for sure.
All right. So listen, one of the things that's drove me crazy throughout this wacky period since the election is, we've known about the Russian hacking since October. I certainly believe the president should have stepped up, but we don't know what pressures are on the president behind closed doors either. We know that he spoke to Putin separately. What we do know is that Donald Trump, the president-elect, is not helping, and this is not about validating or invalidating his election. This is about another country interfering with our election, and not just some little tiny country, kids. This is Russia. That's what the entire discussion should be about, and I assume this is what you and Senator Graham are trying to push forward. Is that right?
It is, and I can tell you that what it boils down to is this. When you ask the Pentagon, who should the United States be most concerned about in the world today when it comes to our interests, our security, they'll give you four countries, Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. So this argument that Putin is our newfound buddy, I'm sorry, but I don't see it that way. He helps us at times with the Iranian nuclear deal, for example. There was a chance he could have helped us in Syria. But by and large, this man does not have the same interests as the United States. And so this notion by President-elect Trump that this hacking is a boys-will-be-boys moment, I mean, that is ridiculous. What they have done is to undermine the fundamental tenet of who we are and what we are and how we operate. He's done it in other countries. He's clearly done it here, and we shouldn't dismiss it.
So the powers of the presidency are such that there are certain things you can do and certain things you can't do. But what you can't do is ask the CIA to hold a press conference. They don't do that, and reveal what sort of evidence they have to prove that Putin's guilty. It's a ridiculous request. These are meetings that should and would take place behind closed doors. And then the president or leaders of Congress step up and say, we've seen the evidence. We know it's true. Isn't that the way it works?
Of course. And the reason is that most of our evidence, not all of it by any means, but most of it comes from people who risked their lives to give it to us. And if we start being fast and loose with their identities, it endangers their lives and discourages others around the country who want to step up on behalf of the United States. It's a naive reaction by someone who clearly hasn't sat down with real experts to explain how we keep this country safe.
Senator, will the results of the hacking investigation in any way change whether Donald Trump is inaugurated in January?
I seriously doubt it. I don't know that we can link up what happened to 80,000 votes in three states that might change the outcome.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't see that. But for goodness sakes, let's acknowledge the obvious. This is a serious threat to who we are. And this is something we see. Imagine what he's doing that we haven't seen. I mean, and that to me is the most frightful part. Let me add one postscript. Every time we get these highly sensitive briefings on the cyber war, which goes on every minute of every day. At the end of it, in very quiet tones, our government says to members of Congress, we are concerned about what they are capable of doing because we know what we can do. So don't believe that we are the losers in the cyber war, but we are trying to be careful not to use the weapons we have unless it's truly a warranted situation.
Do you believe the president should have acted sooner?
I do. But, you know, I don't know all the circumstances. My bet is that this whole issue was linked to a half dozen other issues. And the president had to make a calculation about whether or not he was going to end the conversation about the future of Syria by being more aggressive against Russia. I'm using that as an example. And so he had to make the call. That's the kind of call that presidents make. That's what commanders in chief are forced to do, is to sit down and measure these things. So when the president-elect says, I don't need an intelligence briefing, I'm thinking to myself, and what happens, President Trump, when you get the 3 a.m. phone call where it's a matter of life and death and it's a question of committing American forces and possibly seeing people die because of your decision? Do you want to be well-informed? I certainly hope he does.
I mentioned you and Senator Graham and Senator McCain and this being a bipartisan thing to go after this notion that Russia can just hack and we're just going to look the other way, because that can't happen. But there's another piece that you're working on, a specific bill, specific piece of legislation with Senator Graham related to Dreamers. The notion, too, that we're going to round up 11 million immigrants, undocumented immigrants, illegals, whatever you want to label them as, and they're all going to show up at a particular time, and we're all going to put them on buses or trains, and they're all going to go back to where they came from. It's just patently ridiculous. But those who are adults who came here illegally certainly should face a very difficult road going forward. But kids who were born here, or kids that came here with parents, not because they wanted to, but because they were babies or because they were kids that have been labeled dreamers, these kids deserve some protection, don't they?
Exactly. These kids came wrapped in a blanket in the back seat of a car. It wasn't a family decision that they were part of coming to America. They had nothing to say about the papers that were filed. They grew up here. They did a pretty good job of their lives, even though the specter of deportation was there every day. They went on to school. They have no criminal records. They've now signed up and paid a filing fee to have a background check, and they have a 2-year reprieve from being deported, and they can work. And now the question is, if Donald Trump is president, should eliminate the executive order that protects them, what will happen to them? For many of them, it's not just the fear of their own fate, the fate of their families, but it's whether they can continue in school, in medical school, in law school, do things that help them and help this country. So I joined with Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, Lisa Murkowski, Republican of Alaska, and Jeff Flake, Republican of Arizona, and we're saying to the president, before you abolish this executive order, let's create this bridge to protect them until Congress rolls up its sleeves and does what it's supposed to do on immigration.
The Republican control of the Senate is a few seats, but certainly significant. The House, it's much more. Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell could, you know, do a touchdown dance and spike the football here. What sense going into the next Congress do you have that with the Democrats being on the short side of the equation, you're still going to be able to have some influence?
We don't know. We don't know the agenda of Donald Trump. We don't know what his cabinet officers will do. Some of them are frightful. The notion of appointing someone ahead of a department that they called for the abolition of seems to me to be just an exercise in folly. I mean, I can't imagine the morale of that department under Governor Perry of Texas, who, when he finally remembered, wanted to eliminate the Department of Energy. I mean, that to me is ridiculous. When you look at what it means to us in terms of energy research at Argonne National Lab, at Fermi Laboratory, cutting-edge research that leads the world, let's get serious for a moment here. If the United States is going to continue to be the world leader in the 21st century, when it comes to issues like energy research, for goodness sakes, we cannot back off.
What is the math on the committee for the approval or disapproval of nominees? 5-4?
Well, at this point, it's going to be a question for most of them who require 51 votes, any Supreme Court nominees.
Oh, it's a full Senate vote, so it's not a committee vote.
No, it'll go through a committee, but it's really the floor that'll make the difference.
Okay,
most of the committees, because it's a 52-48 split in the Senate, there's a one or two vote difference. But it comes to the floor, and where the three Republicans will join with all Democrats in opposing any nominee.
What cabinet positions do you feel will have the biggest challenge?
You're talking about in terms of the nominations?
Yeah. Rex Tillerson.
The big ones, Rex Tillerson. Here's a man who wants to represent the United States in diplomacy, who is receiving a pat on the back and a sweet medal from Vladimir Putin. You know, again, we're back to Putin and his role in this administration and in the world. When it comes to the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, he's had some pretty strong views on important issues as far as most of us are concerned. The list of Treasury, it's a long list of critical positions. And I think that there's going to be quite a bit of controversy in some of these.
Yeah, and by the way, supporting the president doesn't mean you can't disagree with the president, and doesn't mean you can't point out when something patently foolish appears to be happening with the president, from the office of the first family and his daughter down the hall to anything else that you've heard about. Some of it is just panic. Some of it is very realistic, and most of it's in the middle. But the job continues. And Merry Christmas to you and your family, and safe travels. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Steve. Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners.
All the best.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings to you wherever you are. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Woo! How good is that? Very nice. You want to introduce?
Victor J. Andrew High School in Tinley Park. Chris, is there an official title or just Victor J. Andrew High School?
We're the Andrew Corral.
The Andrew Corral.
The Andrew Corral, and these are important folks to you. Why?
They're my alma mater. I went to Andrew High School.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
She went in a decade called the 80s.
Yes, I know.
You may have learned about it in history.
Actually, it was a part of the 90s, too. Give me a little credit.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, fine. Now, one of the smoothest transitions ever, because you're going to hear more from these guys singing. What says Christmas more than my Jewish financial friend, David Hochberg? How are you?
Not much, buddy. I'm great.
How are you?
Nice to see you. I brought your...
Brought me a gift?
Show a gift.
We thought we'd set financing and refinancing to music.
That'd be great. Go ahead. One, two, three, go.
Yeah, well...
Okay. I'm not ready for that.
You know, the distractions you get on Michigan Avenue. Turn around just quickly. There's a guy walking around in a bear suit with a fake Cubs World Series trophy.
You guys picked a good day to come.
Yeah, that's a
you
wacky.
Think it's a fake.
Yeah. And Nick's here as well. So, all right, so I'll open to present in a second, but first,
yes,
let's jump right in, and then we'll hear more from the kids singing here in a little bit. Where are we at interest rate-wise? We just had the Fed pop it a couple of days ago. Yeah. These kids may want to buy a house in the next week or two.
Yeah, they better have a lot of money.
All right, so what are we looking at?
The 30-year fixed, you're out of the threes officially. You're completely into the fours right now. So if anybody's advertising anything in the threes, be very, very careful. Because
they're wrong?
Because they're lying to you.
Okay.
Or you're going to be paying a lot of origination points to get down there. The post-election apocalypse of mortgage rates shot up a half a point the week after Trump was elected. We're now up pretty much almost three-quarters to a full point. So what does that mean to the listening public? The average $250,000 mortgage, which is pretty typical of what your listeners have, at 3.5%, Steve, it was $1,123 a month. At 4.5%, which is about where we're at right now, you're at $1,267 a month. So that's $144 a month difference, which is $1,728 a year difference. So
that's a big deal. But then what does it mean? Does it mean it's going to go higher so you should?
Well, right now we're trying to find a ceiling. You know what I mean? We're trying to find a level where it stops increasing, because I get rate alerts every day, and I've been getting 2, 3, 4 up to 4, hey, the market's getting worse. So it's still trying to find a level where the traders feel comfortable, where the market is. Typically what happens is when anything overreacts as violently as it has, mm-hmm. What we're experiencing right now.
Yeah, you got 20,000 on the Dow,
right.
and an unemployment rate that's dropped to 4%.
Maybe.
Which tells you on paper that the economy is allegedly roaring.
Rocking.
That's the real economy versus the Wall Street economy.
Right.
It's the constant argument that we have.
Exactly. And what the guys and gals down at the, trading bonds do is find a level where we'll support the trade, okay, and somewhere hopefully in the very near future, because it's very, very violent right now. or volatile right now. They'll find a nice level where it'll level out.
Mm-hmm.
And then typically when this happens, we see a retraction because it's overcorrected and we see a little bit of a dip. So right now what we're telling people, don't wait. Don't play bond trader. If you have an interest rate, lock in an interest rate if you're interested in a 30-year fix, because there's always a free float down on any type of rate that you have. Any type of lender has a free float down.
Also, what does that mean, a free float down?
That means if the rates get better in the future, you mm-hmm. could float the rate down.
Okay.
So don't try to guess this market, because most likely you'll be wrong.
Right.
And what we're selling a ton of right now, and we're marketing a ton of, is adjustable rate mortgages are back in vogue. I mean, you could still get an adjustable rate mortgage in the threes. Why not?
But explain why that would be a good thing if we believe the rate's going to go up again.
Because most people, you get a 7-year adjustable rate mortgage in the high threes right now. Most people are going to be in their house typically 5 to 7 years, first-time homebuyers. So why go for a 30-year fixed at 4.5 when you could get a 7-year ARM and have coverage in the high threes and save yourself about $100 a month?
But can you lock in an ARM?
Yeah, you can lock in an ARM just like you could lock in a 5, 10, 15, 20, 30-year fixed loan.
These are all questions I know the answer to, but I'm just mm-hmm. pitching them to Hochberg like softballs on Saturday afternoon.
I'll stretch you out, baby. I'm ready to go.
I'm glad I did it. I refinanced. It was one
perfect
of the,
time.
And it was an early Christmas present, too.
Yeah, we got you, what, 3.?
I went from a 4.875 to a
3.37.
Then down to a 3.5 now.
Yeah, 3.5. We got her right at the face. Yeah.
If somebody's in the middle of an ARM and they keep hearing the Fed's going to pop probably another 0.5 to 0.75 this year, can they come to you and have you help them figure out how to lock it in?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we do every single day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you call our office, there's somebody.
Can I call you at 2 a.m.?
Yeah.
Can I call you at 2 a.m.?
You can call me anytime you want.
2:45?
Well, actually, you do call me at 2 a.m. It's kind of awkward. And my wife's like, who's calling you? I'm like, it's just Cochran.
She goes, oh, okay, it's fine then.
Yeah, it's fine.
Nick, are you a homeowner or a renter?
That might be the dumbest question you've ever asked.
Can we get Nick into a house by 10 o'clock?
Absolutely. We get Nick into anything he wants.
Let's do it.
Has your rent gone up?
No, actually it hasn't.
Okay. Is your landlord alive?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing. Because a lot of landlords, what a lot of renters are experiencing is a huge spike in the interest rates, in their rental payments because of the demand for rental property.
And I'm going to guess that January 1st, my rent's going up 900%.
Oh, yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Well, what do people need to watch out? Well, save this. Save this for after the break. What do people need to watch out for financially going forward
mm-hmm.
for the rest of the year? And what can you guarantee us President-elect Trump will do or not do? And how many unicorns are running around between his ears right now?
That's a loaded question.
Okay. We'll do all that when we come back. All right. Are we singing in the break? Is that what we decided? All right. So what are we going to do next, Chris?
How about a little Carol of the Bells?
Carol of the Bells. Again, refinance or finance with who, David?
With me, preferably. You go to WGNDavid.com, where you could call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 312-751-1333. You'll get an honest answer, and we will always provide you with the best information that helps you and your family and puts you in the right path.
And obviously, whenever we talk like this, it reminds me of this song.
One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, all the power raising the sound. Oh, the other tones, gaily they ring, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Ding dong, ding dong, that is a song. With joyful ring, all caroling. Ding
dong, ding dong, dong in the land. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Dong are the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, broke as a way. Christmas is here, bringing a cheer to young and old, meek and the poor. Ding dong, ding dong, dong.
One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, all they come raising the sound. Heard their father tones, gaily they ring, while people sing song of good cheer. Christmas is here. Ding dong, ding dong, that is the song. With joyful ring, dong, caroling. Ding
dong,
ding
dong, dong, with that end, their joyful tone, to every home.
Dong, on they send, on with that end, their joyful tone, to every home.
How about it? I get so excited I stepped on it. I do that. Oh, geez, I'm sorry, you guys. They're going to pound on me during the break, and they should. Again, plug these guys.
Victor J. Andrew High School Choir. You guys are awesome.
And we're back with more.
Directed by Chris Moe.
We're back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. All right, I want to say hi to Jim Donato at Complete Installation Solutions. These are the guys who have been living in my bathroom for the last several weeks. If you're old enough to remember the old Murphy Brown show, remember the guy that lived upstairs?
Oh, Alden?
Yeah, Jim and Octi and the guys are doing a great job. They've been living in my bathroom. They're about to be out, and they've done a wonderful job. By the way, I'm paying for all of this. This is not a free plug.
No.
I'm paying for all of this. And and by the way, Dave, what reason, and Nick, you know this more, why do you get in the show business? Free stuff. Yeah.
Exactly right.
But Complete Installation Solutions, for those of you who wonder, who can I just let into my house to live in my bathroom, I recommend these
guys. I still haven't achieved that goal.
Are you going to miss them in your bathroom?
You know, in a funny way, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
It's weird.
But you hear sentences you don't hear very often, like, hey, your shower doors are in. So I'll be missing that as well.
They don't say, can I help you wash your back or anything like that?
No, that costs more.
That'd be weird.
Yeah, you got to pay more for that. Last year's Kid of the Year, Rosie Colucci. Remember Rosie?
Oh, love Rosie. She's great.
Rosie, I don't know anything about this, but I know if Rosie has a friend that asked me for a favor for Rosie, I'm in. So we got a text this morning. She's trying to win her mom a new car for Christmas. The person with the most votes win. You can go to HomewoodChevyCares.com, and you could vote for Rosie Rose, Cancer Fighter. Now, I'm not knocking anybody else in this contest. We just know that Rosie Colucci was last year's Kid of the Year. She's a fabulous kid.
Yep.
And now she's trying to win her mom a new car. And you can vote for Rosie at homewoodchevycares.com/contest and just look for Rosie Rose Cancer Fighter.
Okay? Let's get her mom a car.
And the Jimmy DeCastro birthday show continues with David Hochberg. Now, am I supposed to open this on there?
Yeah, I got something. I was listening. You know, I'm an avid listener. And there is a need in this studio.
This is David Hochberg.
Thank you for that. And there's a need in the studio for what I bought for the entire show.
All right.
And this is for everybody?
This is for everybody.
Okay. Oh, this is a nice card. This is a serious card.
Well, I'm a serious man. Look at me.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I have to tell you, do you know what the mayor said when he walked in a few weeks ago?
Yes. I was listening.
No, do you know what he actually said?
No.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
What, did you beep it?
Steve, is this written in English? I can't.
This studio is done up for Christmas for a nice Jewish boy like David Hochberg.
And Mayor Emanuel.
And for Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
Look at that.
It's time for...
You got to represent, for God's sakes.
It's time for a... I'm not interested you threw for God's sake in it. You threw in. Go ahead. Tell people what it is.
It is a electric menorah that you could actually...
Wasn't I in a band called Electric Menorah?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's my CB handle. And, you could actually see it. I know you have a little one over there tucked behind all the singers, but you can't see that. You know, go big or go home, baby. So nice. I had to put my footprint on it. And marketing is making up a little plaque that you could put when you put it in the window. David Hochberg of Pearl Mortgage, my phone number.
And why is this the Knesset electric menorah? The Knesset is the Israeli parliament.
It's more official.
That's fantastic.
Right. I paid an extra $10 for the Knesset one.
Yeah, that is fantastic. I don't even know if they know you took it.
Nope.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Bad boy. Yeah.
David Hochberg's here from Pearl Mortgage. We're talking about the Fed's upping the interest rates this week. 0.25 point, 25 basis points, as it's called. Any money to be made in the market on this move?
Well, here, is there any money to be made on the market? I've been telling people for the past 5-6 years that we have a better chance of 30-year fix hitting the fives than they do going down to two. I've been on record as saying that, and I've been encouraging people to pay down their home equity line of credits as fast as they can while the rates are low. You know, you had people putting money towards their first mortgage, that's a fixed rate mortgage, while the second mortgage, which is a variable rate mortgage, just stood there. And
and
basically, here's what's happening with home equity line of credits. And you have to be careful because everybody is out there right now shopping and blowing their financial bazingis off, okay? And you could Google
that's bazingis. Right, kids, blowing their bazingis off.
Right. And it's B-I-Z-I-N.
I don't even know where a bazingi is.
Well,
Nick,
Google it.
Nick, were you good in biology? Where are your bazingis?
You don't want to know.
Okay. Okay.
It's a special anatomy class for us Jews. That's what we take. And so for $50,000 home equity line of credit,
Yeah, I apologize for the counseling all you kids will need when you go back to high school today. There'll be counselors when you get off
what's
the bus.
What's a bazingi? Yeah, that's going to be the next question.
This guy, mortgage guy.
Are you kidding me? These guys are in high school.
I know, yeah.
They know five times what we know, and they can find it online.
Yeah, my I don't even want to know. My daughter's going next year. So $50,000 home equity line of credit, average and Andrew just dropped them and they're on the ground, so I got to buy another one. 3.5%, the payment's $146 a month. Right, people that have $150,000 out on their line of credit.
Sure,
with the rate increase, it goes up $10. It's not the initial rate increase, Steve, that shocks people. It's when you start going in that direction.
Yeah, yeah.
There's usually more in the future, and that's right. What people need to be aware of. The last time the rate started moving at post 9/11, we went from 4 to 8 really, really quick.
So if you have a HELOC, you should lock it in.
Well, if you have a HELOC, you should look at maybe converting it into a fixed rate loan, or if you plan on moving in the near term, you should look at converting it into an adjustable rate.
Yeah, because
mortgage.
You can't lock it in beyond a few days early, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you got to be careful in the HELOCs, and people have to be careful of what they're spending on their credit cards.
Is it expensive to convert a HELOC?
No, it's not at all expensive to convert a HELOC. Most of the times we're doing home equity line of credits for no closing costs. We're also doing refinances with no closing costs. So what people have to do is really take a look now as the rates are going the other way, right? It's been a good run. It's been an 8-year run, for heaven's sakes. It's been a wonderful, float ride here. But now we have to get prepared for
parade's
what's going to
happen.
The parade is over. Okay, right, now right. you gotta start planning, to see what's going on. And if you want advice on what to do, we'll be more than happy to give it to you, but you can't bury your head in the sand. Okay, rates are going to continue to go up. We still haven't found a ceiling of where they're leveling out. They're going to open worse today. I've got notice that on my rate watch thing that I have that rates are going to continue to get worse. So be careful. We're close to being at 5% on a 30-year fixed loan. We haven't seen that in years. Everybody, a couple of guys called. A guy called Russ yesterday.
Russ Cochran, my son.
Your son. He goes, yeah, I'd like a 3-point. I like a 30-year fixed in the threes. Ross is like, what should I tell him? Tell him I'd like to get in a pair of 32-inch pants, but I can't pull that off either. Okay? I mean, it is what it is. Right. He's trying to overcome.
The math don't lie.
He's trying to overcome objections. I'm like, hey, tell the guys in the fours now. And this is reality.
Right,
okay?
If somebody's
telling him something else, they're lying to him.
All right, let's say a guy like me sat down with one of your fine people recently and did a HELOC.
Yeah.
And the fine person on the other side of the desk, your people, said, you may want to lock this in. And I said, we're fine.
Well, if you're going to use a HELOC and pay it off and chunk it down, there's nothing wrong. The rates are still low.
Because what you're paying off is what you've used.
It's what you've used and what you've borrowed. Right. And I'm still a big fan of HELOCs. Right. It's just that if you're a person that's got 40, 50, 60, 80, 90, $100,000 out on your HELOC and you haven't paid it down, get ready, because that next month's payment is going to be higher. And when Janet Yellen and the Fed get together next year, it's going to go probably higher again one or two more times. They haven't decided it, depending upon how this increase in the interest rates is done. So your payments are going to get higher. Gas is going up. Okay, you're loading up your credit cards again, all your listeners. Just be careful.
Have you mentioned that the kids from school here, from Victor Jander, are going to be living in the street in a week? Because nothing but good news
I'm just trying to base. I'm just trying to give people some
Captain Happy and his
set realistic expectations.
And his bazingas.
Is this a bad time to tell him one of his bulbs is broken?
Oh, sure, you dropped it on the ground.
No, I didn't. I dropped it.
I'll have Ross run over.
Sounds like the Supreme Court. We've got an 8-bulb menorah here.
Yeah, and it's the most important bulb. It's the Shemesh there. It's the big one.
I got your Shemesh.
I know you do. And you could Google that. That you could Google.
Pearl Mortgage. Give them the website and the phone number.
It's WGNDavid.com.
Yes.
And my website is WGNDavid. My phone number is 312-751-1333. I know you read the last commercial of the year earlier, but I wanted to personally thank you and everybody here at WGN and on the morning show and all your listeners. They've
thank
been
you.
Great. They've been super supportive this
thank
year,
you.
As always.
Wave to the people at CLTV.
CLTV, thank you for your support. And looking forward to a huge year next year, coming back and helping your listeners as well. So thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for employing my son.
No problem.
Give him enough money to live.
Livable wage.
Thank you for getting me 3.5.
No problem.
All right. We will continue with our 8-bulb menorah and the fine folks here from Victor J. Andrew. Patty Voska is coming in, too, in just a second. Coming up at 10, no Bill and Wendy show today because we're doing a Christmas Carol live on the 7th floor.
How about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm in the first scene, so I'm going to have to book up there.
You'll leave when I say you'll leave. Back after this with the big story next on 720 WGN. How about give him a hand? Come on.
All right.
Notice how I shut up till the end.
Yes, you did well. You did well that time.
Victor J. Andrew. And what are we calling you guys again?
The
Victor J. Andrew Corral, the Andrew Corral. And you went to this school. Were you in the Corral?
I was not in the Corral. I played
tennis. Were you anywhere on the ranch at all?
No, I enjoyed going to the concerts. I'm not that great of a singer, but they were always wonderful to watch and listen to.
Did you ever date anybody in the Corral?
I actually did.
Yeah? What happened to them? Where are they?
I don't know. He wanted to be
They're not here.
That would have been a little gross.
For them?
Because
of the age thing? Yeah.
He was my first,
first kiss?
Friend.
First
yeah.
love?
Yes.
Wow.
But the focus is on these kids, not me.
We actually have him here. Let's bring him out right now.
Stan Haptis.
Nick DiGilio is here. Nick, what part are you playing in the play today?
I'm playing, uncharacteristically, the nicest character in the entire play.
Yeah.
I'm playing.
Feels like a mistake,
it's
huh?
It's a total mistake, and it's going to be hard for me. But it's I'm Scrooge's nephew, Fred.
Dave, what are you?
I'm the announcer, but my first part got cut out, and
right.
And then I got
look how did
and
really
I'm also
dead.
Guest too.
You got cut out for a very good reason. It's a nice surprise for people today. We'll have
okay. I agree.
I think Lou got that part. Yeah.
No, he definitely
lose the
didn't.
Sidewalk.
Yeah. And I've also been given an additional role as get ready guest number two.
Whoa!
Ooh.
It's the most challenging. It's the most challenging part in the show.
I just got a text. Guest number two is cut.
Oops. That's funny because I'm woman number two, also known as the chairwoman.
What?
I think you two are dinner dates.
What woman doesn't want to be known as woman number two?
He offered me a pajamagram. I said okay.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
Is it minty?
And Patty Vasquez is here. How about you?
I'm Tiny Tim's mom. Mrs. Cratchit. I believe her name in some versions is Emily. I'm going to go with Emily.
Emily Cratchit.
Mm-hmm.
And you just yelled at me off the air. You said, I'm not spirit number one. What am I?
You're the ghost of Christmas past.
Oh, that's
you?
It.
Okay. Then.
Yeah, that's what I am.
Okay.
Hi,
ghost number
you?
One. Spirit number one.
I'm used to bit parts. Remember all the movies I did? See? Waiter number one, all those things?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm very well. I'm
really
back from
nice
Los Angeles.
Nice to see you. When did you get back?
Last night at about midnight.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. I guess it's morning. I don't know. It all blends together at some point.
It's really ridiculous to see you and Nick at this hour. Both of you be home and at your homes and unconscious.
It's disorienting.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
Yeah.
What is daylight like for you two?
Death.
Burns. It burns me. It does. It. I was leaving the house. I'm like, oh, I need sunglasses. Yeah. I can't
right.
do this.
Right. Because normally you go to bed around 5 a.m., something
mm-hmm.
like that?
That's about right.
And you about 5 a.m., 6 a.m., something like that?
I'm on till 5, Steve. I don't know if you know
that's
that or
not. That's a good point.
No, I usually go to bed.
You go to bed at 5 a.m.?
I do. Yes.
The minute you're off the air?
No, I go to bed at 4:55. I don't know if you've heard the end of my show. I go to bed around 11, 11:30.
Will
I
you,
stay up.
Will you watch Johnny Carson?
Watch Johnny Carson every single morning.
So you go to 11, 11:30?
Yeah.
Well, who goes home right after work and goes to bed?
Oh, I do. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm in bed at 10:45.
Are you saying?
That late? Wait, that's like 10:20.
In the morning.
Yeah.
10:45 in the morning, yeah. And then I just sleep till 4 a.m. the following day.
Oh, that's, wow.
Yeah.
Good
that's why
for
I look
you.
So fresh.
You look fantastic.
By the way, speaking of staying up late, we have a New Year's Eve show again this year for people that can't stay awake till midnight.
So
and
much fun.
John DeCoste came to me and said, hey, I got an idea. Tell me what you think.
DeCoste had an idea?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He goes, tell me what you think. We'll do two shows. We're going to do a show at 1 o'clock. I said, it's New Year's Eve. 1 o'clock? So yeah, 1 o'clock and 6 o'clock in two different cities.
Here's fingers crossed
wow.
for a snowstorm.
Yeah, that'll be good times.
Is it 6 o'clock blue?
No, somebody asked. Aww. It's funny you say that. Somebody asked about ratings for the show. I call the show. Patty, you've worked with me forever. PG-13.
Yeah, I just came back from North
when
Carolina.
When you say PG-13?
Yeah, I just did it. Yeah. People always wonder if I can do that. I just did a Christian comedy show for Pureflix in North Carolina.
Yeah,
so
no,
I'll be just fine.
We work clean all the time.
I know. But people doubt me.
It's a good thing you don't have me on the bill.
Yeah, that's why we didn't call this year. But it's a PG-13 show. Anyway, here's the deal. 1 o'clock at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake. RAUECenter.org. And then at 6 o'clock at the beautiful Tivoli in Downers Grove.
Yes, I'm excited. I've never been to the Tivoli.
Oh, it's a great theater.
It's beautiful.
Oh, isn't really? That on the old vaudeville run?
Yeah, it's a fantastic. I mean, the history at that place is amazing. It's a beautiful, beautiful theater.
Yeah, back in the 20s and 30s, you guys, there was this thing called vaudeville where people go on trains and they go, Dave, tell them about vaudeville.
You were there.
It's going to take too long to talk.
Didn't somebody say
so many stories?
Dave did sports in vaudeville shows.
I did.
Somebody said they had a bowling alley in the basement there.
They have a bowling alley in the basement.
Do we get to bowl while we're waiting?
Depends on how the show goes.
All right. I want to bowl before the show. It's how I warm up.
Yeah, we could. But anyway, the classiccinemas.com website is the best way to get tickets to the 6 o'clock show. Excellent. You will be with me at 6.
Okay. And you've waved me off for the 1 o'clock. You said no.
I did you a huge favor. Pat McGann will be available for your 1 o'clock entertainment. Pat McGann will be doing that show. And Uncle Lair.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Larry's
you got show, Larry.
Larry
Reeb?
Larry Reeb is
at
Patty.
At 6 o'clock. You know what? That is going to be a different show.
That's going to be weird, man.
Yes. He does clean. He's corporate.
I've seen both of these guys. I've worked with both of them.
Yeah.
It's going to be very weird.
They both can do PG-13. It's going to be
me,
just fine.
I will run into the audience if need be.
Yeah. We love Larry. Obviously, we love Patty. And John and I will be there as well.
And McGann is great.
Pat McGann's great. And in both shows, I'll do my year in review. You think it would be any Trump?
No.
Again in there?
What a year it's been.
Oh, yeah.
Can't you just stick with the Cubs? Forget about everything else?
Yeah, just do an hour on the Cubs.
You guys realize the Cubs had 3 days? Wasn't it Friday they clinched or Saturday?
It was a
Wednesday.
It was a Wednesday.
That's my point.
When they went to the World Series, they clinched on a Saturday. That was the same night that David S. Pumpkins made his debut on SNL. I'll
so
never forget.
The fact is,
I was at that
108 years later, you had 10 minutes to enjoy the Cubs World Series victory until the election.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something
six
about,
days. It was 6 days.
Something about 2016.
All a blur.
We'll come back. We'll get one more from Victor J. Andrew in just a second. And we'll also talk a little bit more to Patty. And we'll start the play in just a few seconds as well. Thanks for watching on CLTV and listening to 720 WGN. All right, so Patty's going upstairs right now.
Right now? Oh, are you throwing me out?
Yeah.
Have until like page 23. I have plenty of time.
Yeah, I have time too.
All right.
Hang out in the hallway.
Just hang up on me. Oh, I mean,
we want to have these guys sing one more.
I know.
And feel free to jump in with them.
Oh, should know.
All right, everybody on Facebook Live as well.
Yeah,
thanks to CLTV. I'm off next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, back on Thursday and Friday for the last two shows of this year. Thanks again to Victor J. Andrew, right?
Woo-woo! Way to go, T-Bolts! Yeah.
And let's do one more for the road. Dave, are you ready?
I'm ready. Still, we're going to do it or they're going to do it?
Let's let them sing.
Okay,
whatever,
that's a better idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Jolly old St. Nicholas, lean your ear this way. Don't you tell a single soul what I'm going to say. Christmas Eve is coming soon, now you dear old man. Whisper what you'll bring to me, tell me if you can. When the clock is striking 12, when I'm fast asleep, down the chimney broad and black, with your pack you'll creep. All the stockings you will find hanging in a row, mine will be the shortest one, you'll be sure to know. Jolly wants a pair of skates, Susie wants a sled, Nelly wants a picture book, yellow, blue, and red. Now I think I'll leave to you what to give the rest. Choose from me, dear Santa Claus, you will know the best.
Come on. A Christmas Carol Live is next on 720 WGN.